Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We are going to cover the story that's breaking out of Kentucky, and that is the high school students that were really assaulted in Washington, D.C. in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Many of you have been watching this over the news where a group of high schoolers from a Catholic high school, Covington Catholic Christian High School in Covington, Kentucky, that's just over the border of Ohio in the greater Cincinnati area. They were at the March for Life, and they were there to participate in the march to support the unborn. And then they went to the Lincoln Memorial later that afternoon to wait for their buses. Well, while they were there, there were some protesters that came and began to hurl insults at the students, as well as some other activists that came and confronted the students. And as you've seen, it's all over the news and all over social media. Well, the story here is, ladies and gentlemen, that these minors were basically assaulted and threatened on social media. And the Ohio Christian Alliance and other legal organizations are stepping up because basically, there is a lot of issues that are playing out right now. In fact, civil lawsuits are being filed against news outlets that mischaracterize the whole event, where these students, basically, they were not the aggressor. They were there waiting for a bus to go back home to Kentucky, but basically, they were the ones that were on the receiving end of abuse from protesters. I want to read for you a portion of the press release that the Ohio Christian Alliance put out late last night. It's titled, "A Call for the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department to Investigate the Dangerous Threats That Were Made Against the Covington Catholic Christian School Students." Today, the Ohio Christian Alliance, with a coalition of religious, family, and legal advocacy organizations, called for the FBI, the U.S. Justice Department, to investigate the dangerous threats that were made against the Covington Catholic Christian School students. This week, the school was closed by officials and local law enforcement due to security concerns. The statements and direct threats that were made against the Christian school students are alarming and extremely dangerous. The FBI in the recent past has brought charges against and prosecuted individuals who have hurled similar threats against congressional members. One such incident occurred in 2010 when a threat was reported to have been made against then-Ohio Congressman John Boccheri. The case was brought to federal court, and the individual in question was found guilty and sentenced to prison. The hysteria that followed the students from the encounter with protesters at the Lincoln Memorial at the conclusion of the March for Life put them at the center of a generated hate campaign, fueled by false media reports and social media. It has been documented that known individuals have called for violence against the students and their Christian school. This, in our opinion, is simply an outrage and a watershed moment in which reason, sensibility, and the law must come into play. The Justice Department stands for justice for all and everyone equal under the law. Does the well-being and safety of a congressman outweigh the safety and security of school children? The individuals who made these vicious and dangerous threats against the Covington Catholic school children must be held accountable for their threats against these minors. We will make an official appeal to the Department of Justice and the FBI in writing in the coming days. That is the Ohio Christian Alliance and family group leaders from Ohio's official statement concerning the Catholic students of Covington High School. With us on the phone is legal counsel for Liberty Counsel. He is the chairman of Liberty Counsel, and that's Matt Staver. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, Matt, obviously, you've been watching this play out. Obviously, you support the March for Life and the Defense of the Unborn. This is a wonderful pro-life event that happens annually as tens of thousands, actually over 100,000 young people and pro-lifers came into the city of Washington, D.C. and peacefully march, of course, in support of life in the right around the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. You've watched this play out with these students. What is your thoughts?
Well, this is just another illustration of the media. In fact, I actually wrote an opinion to the Orlando Sentinel on a completely different matter, in which the Orlando Sentinel editorial board wrote an article about Liberty Counsel. And in my response, which they did publish, it said two things that I think is applicable here. One, it's no wonder why people no longer trust the news. Two, media outlets need to be careful because they can put people's lives at risk. And when they publish things like what's happened to these young students from Covington Catholic, it has put their lives at risk. They had to shut down the school on Monday because they've gotten death threats. People read these things, and there are certain feeder organizations that, and media, print, and television, that develop a certain kind of mentality of individuals who watch those particular media. And those then send out this false propaganda to those individuals, and those individuals, some of them come unhinged, and they get death threats against people. They lob death threats like have been done against us because of false reporting, and you see that happening here. So it really underscores how bad the news has actually become and how dangerous the news can be when they falsely report, as they've done in this case with these Catholic students.
Well, you know, what the message here is very alarming, because one of the strengths of the pro-life movement is the youth movement within the pro-life movement. And these literally tens of thousands of students who come from all across the country that are bussed in to participate in the March for Life is such a great indicator of the pro-life movement going forward. In fact, a handful of years ago, a friend of mine who's in the pro-life movement, he was noting that there were liberals, activists, feminists that were watching all these young people pile off the buses for a March for Life that year. And she said they're so young, and that's because that many in the liberal feminist movement were just aging. These are people from the children of the 60s and early 70s, and they're getting much older. And they were watching all these young people, a youth movement in the pro-life movement. And, of course, the needle is changing where America is increasingly more pro-life. And so they saw themselves losing ground. There are people that have a suspicion about this, that this was part of the way that the media reported on this as an opportunity to basically discourage these kids from coming, like in the next couple of years, to March for Life. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think certainly with this Catholic school, you know, you even had the bishop of that diocese jump the gun, look at the media, and send out a letter, which is premature. And frankly, I hope there's an apology coming from the bishop to the diocese and especially these students. And I hope that this school is able to participate in the March for Life next year, that this does not tarnish them or intimidate them or shut down that annual event, because this particular school is one of many sends young people to the March for Life on a bus. And they have been doing that in the past, and this routine of meeting was something they had done in the past, and they were waiting to board their bus. But there's buses from around the country, from east to west, north to south. I was at the March for Life this year, and just like years past, you see 40-50%, maybe more, of the marchers are in their teens and 20s. It is a youth movement, and that is good for the future, because it shows that this younger generation is even more pro-life than our generation, and these will be the lawmakers, these will be the policymakers, these will be the voters, and are many of them already in those positions. And I think the pro-abortion death side sees that, and they want to intimidate them. And this particular situation was set up. It was set up by the racist organization, the Hebrew Israelites. This is a racist organization, both against the Jews as well as against people of other color. And then this individual who is the Native American, he has a track record of causing controversy. In fact, the very next day, he tried to do the same exact thing he did to these young high school students by entering a Catholic basilica during Mass, and the guards at the basilica had to block him and his other people. They were banging the drums just exactly how they did to the high school students, and they wanted to go in while a Mass was taking place and disrupt as well. That's the same person who ultimately lied on the news media to say that they were chanting against him, they blocked his path, they came against him. He and the others were looking for a fight to pick against these young Catholic high school students, and they targeted them because obviously it was identified that they are Catholic. They were targeting them because of their Christian faith. They were targeting them because they knew that they were there for the pro-life march. And they also targeted them because some of them had the MAGA hats on. But all of it was orchestrated. All of it was set up. And they spun the lie to the media. The media has the obligation to see if that's true or false, but it doesn't fit their narrative if it's false. So they go with what they want to put out there, and they put this information out there. It's completely false, puts people at risk. And, of course, some of those liberal mainstream media, if you will, they don't like the pro-life March for Life. They don't like the fact that it's a youth movement. So it feeds into their particular narrative, and they send out information that's false. I pray, and you know what? I think this young generation won't be deterred. I think that this young generation will continue to come back. This is not going to stop them, but I do think that we need to be careful in the media. The media needs to have some self-restraint, because false reporting like this, which was very clear when you watched the video, that these young boys, instead of being chastised, instead of being called racist, these young boys and girls were exercising restraint, Christian character. They did not advance. They did not intimidate. They did not shout bad things. These were examples of good young people.
Well, that's right. We're talking with Matt Staver. He is the chairman of Liberty Council, a First Amendment legal association. Matt, we saw some of the Twitter feeds. In fact, we have copied them off of the internet, as these things might be erased in the future, because they are actually on the record now. And there are some famous people and some not so famous, just everyday people, that weighed into this and said horrible things and threats against these young people. These are minors. So there was this Saturday Night Live writer, she actually offers a sex act to anyone that will hit this kid in the face. It goes on. Stormy Daniels wrote, I'm suddenly in favor of building a wall around the Covington Catholic High School, and let's electrify it to keep these disgusting punks from getting loose and creating more vileness in society. Here's someone from the Disney Corporation. It said the MAGA kids go screaming hats first into the wood chipper. It shows a picture of a bloody scene of a wood chipper. I'm telling you, Matt, these are serious threats, and they're put out there for thousands to see. And you know, we're calling for the FBI, the Justice Department, to investigate this.
I agree.
There's another one here. It says there were calls for people to burn the school down with the kids in it. Now,
Matt, someone was calling for a school shooter to come to the Catholic high school.
Oh, God.
I mean, this is in a day like this. And again, what do you see in some of the very liberal media that actually promoted the false story? Do you see them condemning that? No. They just simply drop it and move on to something else. There ought to be outright condemnation and repercussions against those individuals that are advocating violence against these young boys and girls of this high school.
Well,
this is dangerous rhetoric. And we know, for example, that people act on that, and they will actually do what some of these people are encouraging to do. That's the scary thing.
Well, that's the alarming thing, absolutely. Well, what we said in our press release, and we were quoting precedent that there was back in a few years ago, Congressman Boccheri, there was a threat that came into his office. The FBI pursued it. They prosecuted that individual, and he actually serves up to 15 months in prison. I think that's what's going to need to happen here with these Twitter accounts of calling for violence against these minors. And I think this is a watershed moment. You know, the liberals may want this to go away, but this story is not going away. I'm reading here in the Wall Street Journal this morning, the high school deplorables, and it's talking about that's how they're, you know, this is a moment, basically, and this article is talking about what exactly happened here, and calling out the alarm on this thing. Last night, Laura Ingraham had a guest on that was talking about the legal ramifications as this as well. And I know she's also very cautious about these types of things, as you are, exactly what could be pursued. But I think this is different now, especially when the social media tech giants have been policing themselves, deactivating accounts, calling things out for hate speech, and yet they allowed some of this to go over their transmission, as it were, their platforms, curtailing some and letting others fly. And I think they're going to be held accountable to that. That's why I think that this time it's different. And I think that that's why we're asking the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate. We have had a little bit of experience for this as an organization. Back with Joe the Plumber, everybody remember his name, yeah. But they don't remember Joseph Wolzerbacher, who was basically Joe the Plumber, but he's an Ohio resident. We're an organization that encourages election activity for people of faith to register to vote, get educated on the issue through voter guides, ask candidate questions, go to candidate forums. Well, here this guy was just asking a question in a rope line at a candidate stop, and then he becomes investigated through the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, run by the Democrats under Governor Strickland and one lady called Helen Jones Kelly. Well, after all the lights went out after the election, Obama was elected, President Obama. But in November, we had a press conference at the State House in Columbus, and we presented, we called for her termination. And guess who joined us in that press conference, Matt? Was the ACLU Director of Ohio.
Yeah,
State Senator Tim Grindel said, "I never thought I'd see the day that the Ohio Christian Alliance and the ACLU joined together on a single issue. We called for the press conference. They asked to participate. I said, sure, if we've got the same motivation here." Within 30 days, they said she turned in her resignation. Actually, Strickland was pushing her out the door, and they escorted her staff out the door as well, because she violated the public's trust. She was using the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services to improperly investigate a citizen in Ohio simply because he was noted to ask a question of the presidential candidate that happened to be Democrat. So we've had some history here. So long after the lights go out, as it were, we're going to keep the drumbeat on this thing. But I actually think this is going to keep going, and we're going to push the initiative. Now, I know they're furloughed. I've heard that the FBI with special agents are furloughed. Some are working without pay. I don't know what you know about that with the Justice Department right now with the government shutdown. But we're going to push the initiative here. We want an investigation. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, and I applaud you for doing that, and that's the situation where sometimes, like this, the media really made a big mistake. Some of them realize it, so they're just going on to something else and hoping everyone will forget about it, and they can go on and do the same thing to somebody else. But I think they ought to be held accountable, and I thank you and the organization there for putting a laser focus on this, not only a public attention, but also following up after, like you say, the lights go off and someone's attention is change to some other issue. This is a serious issue. It's not only with the media, it's groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which drives things to the media, which drives things to the Silicon Valley, Facebook, Google, et cetera, organizations, where they list organizations and people as hate groups. That has consequences as well. That kind of fake reporting, that kind of demonization of someone simply because you don't like them, that kind of complete foregoing what the facts are in the case just so that you can demonize someone, that needs to stop, whether it's media, whether it's the social networks, all of that needs to stop. There needs to be some fair and accurate reporting, and there needs to be respect for those individuals you're talking about. And for others, I think, don't jump to the conclusion right away when you see something in the media. As in this case, too many people jump to the conclusion thinking that, oh, this was the high school students, they're intimidating, they're racist, they're doing all of this against this poor Native American Indian, and now we know that this Native American, frankly, has lied, and this is a pattern with this particular individual. We also know that this other racist organization started this, and these young people had nothing to do with it. They were not intimidating. They should be congratulated. But in fact, instead, the schools had to shut down. They've had death threats. That kind of misinformation and putting people at risk just because it advances your political agenda needs to come to an end. So thank you for shining a spotlight on this and making sure something is done about this, and we just don't move on and think about the next thing down the line.
Well, we're so thankful for the Liberty Council and the work that you do, Matt, and your complete staff, and really defending the First Amendment all across the country for religious institutions and individuals. And we always herald the work of Liberty Council. You know, one of the things we're working on here in Ohio is to try to pass a Pastor's Protection Act. We moved it through the Ohio House and into the Ohio Senate last session. It came up short. It got stalled in committee. We do have commitments from leadership that they would like to see that move forward. Of course, your organization is part of the impetus and inspiration behind getting that moving here in Ohio. And there is some cause for concern. Here in Cuyahoga County, there's something called the Human Rights Commission that the county council put together. And they're going to impanel a 3-member panel that will start taking complaints of those who file complaints about the LGBTQ community. And there is no church exemption or religious institution organization exemption. So there's great concern here that this kind of persecution of Christians and our biblical beliefs is going to continue. When we look at the vice president's wife who is being ridiculed for just teaching at a Christian school that upholds biblical values. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you see what's happening to Karen Pence and the ridicule that people are leveling against her. And it's because she's teaching at a private Christian school as an art teacher, which she's done for 12 years before when Vice President Pence was a member of Congress. And what are they criticizing her for? They're criticizing her because the school has biblical, historic Judeo-Christian values on human sexuality and viewing pornography. And that applies to churches and Christians and houses of worship across this country. So it's an attack not just on her, it's an attack on all of us. And that's why this attack is getting worse. We need to be aware of these attacks, and we need to stand up and do something about it, because it's not going to get any better if we are not participating in this process and we're not pushing back. I think, for example, right now, I was someone on the social media platform, Google, et cetera, Facebook, that historically, like all of us, wanted this to be a wild, wild west deregulation. But, you know, when they come to the point where they're censoring Christian pro-life, conservative Christian views, and they're allowing this kind of stuff to go through, and they're no longer a neutral provider, as they said they would be.
Yes.
They're just a neutral conduit. Then I think that it's time for specific regulation for these entities, just like you have your telephone and your radio and your TV regulated. I mean, for example, the utility company can't shut off your heat and your air just because they don't like you because you believe in marriage as one man and one woman. Neither can they do that with your telephone. There's a reason for that. But now these super information highways are getting involved in the censorship. I think that if they don't have self-restraint, there ought to be some kind of repercussion.
We're talking with Matt Staver, who is the chairman of Liberty Council, and you can find them on the internet. Just Google Liberty Council or lc.org. Matt, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. God bless you, my friend. Again, that's Matt Staver with Liberty Council, and you can learn more about their organization and their advocacy of the First Amendment at lc.org or just Google Liberty Council. Well, stay tuned on the other side. We're going to be talking about Karen Pence's persecution by the LGBTQ community as they have ridiculed her for just teaching at a Christian school. We're going to have Linda Harvey of Mission America joining us. Also, Pastor Gary Click from here in Ohio. We're going to be talking about that with Christian schools and what we're facing in this day and age. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. TrustBlueReview.
Okay, and we're back, and we're going to be talking about Karen Pence, and she is the wife of Vice President Mike Pence, and she is teaching at a Christian school, and there are many that in the certain liberal side of the political equation that have criticized her for teaching at a Christian school because they uphold biblical values. With me on the phone is Pastor Gary Click. He is from the Fremont Baptist Temple here in Ohio, and also the president of Mission America, Linda Harvey, who for years has been sounding the alarm about the radical nature of the homosexual community to really attack Christianity and our biblical values, and starting in the public schools with indoctrination, and things have actually gotten so much worse. And now Christian schools are under attack. Pastor Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Chris. It's a pleasure to be on with you today.
Well, Pastor Gary, you have a Christian school right there at your church, and actually you have been a representative of the American Association of Christian Schools. We're trying to get the legislative director on with us, so we're going to see if he's able to call in from Washington, Jameson Coppola, but tell us about what your thoughts are about all this right now.
Yeah, actually, I just received a text from him, and I know he's just wrapped up something on Capitol Hill. He should be calling in shortly. And I work with the Buckeye Christian School Organization, and Jameson kind of leads our legislative affairs there on Capitol Hill. And as Christian schools, I'm a product of a Christian school. I graduated from a Christian school back in 1984, and I'm thankful for that education that I received. And then when God opened the doors for me to come here, we reopened, we restarted a Christian school here in Fremont, Ohio, and God has blessed in the work. And this is something that really we have been warned about for years from Christian Law Association and some other places that, you know, we need to make sure that we have our ducks in a row because this is coming down the pike and that we are going to be attacked for nothing more significant than just living out biblical principles in our churches and in our Christian schools. Now, most Christian schools, like Emmanuel, are schools that are attached to a church. There are some independent Christian schools, but I would say the majority of them are actually attached to churches, and now they are targeting churches. It's an agenda of outrage. That's really what the left is working on these days. They just want to live on outrage and hype and persecution of people for just living out the Christian faith, and it should not surprise us that that's their agenda, but that's what they're doing, and we need to be ready for it even more today because I don't think this is the end. I think this is the beginning of what's coming from the left.
Linda Harvey of Mission America. Linda, we can see where they're targeting the vice president's wife. If the vice president of the United States' wife teaching at a Christian school comes under scrutiny and criticism, we're in real trouble.
Absolutely. We have to understand what's going on, and it's just as Pastor Gary was saying, you know, they want to paint everyone who upholds Christian values into the racist corner in some way, fashion, or other, along with this social justice agenda. And by implication, they want to, you know, make people believe that Christians are essentially part of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, it's all part of this painting us into a stereotypical anti-human corner. And, you know, what they're doing is making the connection that by implication that some people are born this way. Therefore, if we ban the behavior or say that biblical values are what are being upheld in this school and in these churches, that we are banning people, and that essentially is like racism. So there are many dots that are connected here, but people quickly get them, and it's all based on ignorance. It's not, there is no evidence that people are born this way. And even if they were, the Bible is very clear. We are, you know, the marriage is one man and one woman. That is the standard. That is how God designed us. It works beautifully. And everything else is an abomination, and it is intrinsically disordered. And we're really jeopardizing our children's future if we don't adhere to this and not go along with where they're trying to take us mentally, spiritually, and culturally.
25 years ago, Dr. D. James Kennedy warned about this. I remember hearing him preach and teach about it on the radio airwaves back then. And when he said that they're coming out of the closet and they seek to push the Christians into the closet, they seek to turn the world upside down on this whole view of homosexuality. And indeed, that's exactly what they're doing. They're putting the Christian church on a defense. But this time now, Pastor Gary, they're actually a very aggressive, and they're very much assaulting people of faith in high places, and then also school children. When you look at what's happening, the persecution of the Catholic Christian school in Covington, Kentucky, what happened after they just participated in a March for Life. These are signs that, you know, the church has to recognize and wake up. One, it's a spiritual battle we need to be praying about, but we also need to be politically savvy, too, of the times that we live in. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is it's time for Christians to come out of the closet, because I think we've been pushed into the closet, as you alluded to, and we've been kind of hiding our faith and hiding our values. We've been disconnected from public policy far too much, and we've been just saying, let all that stuff happen as it happens. I also think, Chris, that it's no coincidence that this growing intimidation, and that's really what it is. It's about intimidation. You know, I've seen it before. I saw it when I prayed at a rally, a lot of intimidation. There's intimidation of this young man from Covington Christian. Now there's intimidation. And it's not just intimidating Mrs. Pence. I think that the Pences, they're used to this. They get it. They don't like it, like nobody does, but they know how to stand up to it. But what they're really trying to do now is intimidate Christians and Christian schools from being engaged in the process. They're trying to shame us, just like that young boy. That young boy had made three mistakes. Number one, he was going to a Catholic school. Number two, he was pro-life at a pro-life rally. And number three, he had a MAGA hat on. And so for them, that's enough that says to them, he's a legitimate target for us. We're going to go after him. We're going to dox him. We're going to shame him. We're going to make that kid shut up. It's a lot of intimidation. And there's no coincidence between the fact that there's this rise in the acceptability of socialism in our community and in our media, and now even in our politics. And socialism is all about groupthink. It's all about conforming to the agenda. And if you don't conform to that agenda, you know, socialism is one of the bloodiest movements there is in history. And they're beginning to show those signs of it the more they grow in power right here in our own country. And that's something that we need to keep our eyes on and be increasingly aware of, and we need to be taking a stand, and we need to be activated, engaged in shaping policy in America. The more they try to intimidate us, the more we need to be engaged and active.
Well, with us on the phone also, just joining us, is Jameson Coppola. He is the legislative director of American Association of Christian Schools. Jameson, thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we've been talking with Gary and also Linda Harvey of Mission America about the situation with Karen Pence teaching at a Christian school in the greater Washington area, D.C. area. And, you know, this ridicule and complaint that's come from the LGBTQ community is one in which is very alarming, that if they can start criticizing the vice president's wife for just teaching at a Christian school that upholds biblical values, where do the rest of us stand? And I think this is orchestrated on purpose. Your thoughts?
Indeed, it's saddening to see the intent and purpose of the First Amendment turned upside down in people's minds. Discrimination and bigotry against religious people is nothing new. It's in fact why the First Amendment exists. I thought it was ironic that the day that the articles came out attacking the vice president's wife was Religious Liberty Day, the day we celebrate the beginnings of the ideas that religious people should be fully invested in the civic life of our country. And it was a sad day for us as Americans, first and foremost, but especially as religious Americans, to see a decent, upstanding public servant like the vice president's wife maligned for doing something that is completely charitable and completely in the best interests of children and really indeed of our country.
Well, that Religious Liberty Day that you reference goes back to Thomas Jefferson, and one of the things he was most proud of in his work in government is that the passage of the Virginia Institute of the Religious Freedom Act. And so, in fact, it's inscribed of the three things that he's most proud of in his life: the author of the Declaration of Independence, author of the Religious Freedom Act of Virginia, and founder of the University of Virginia. So that's when, you know, this is a very important day, like you said, that we're to celebrate. And this is when they attacked the vice president's wife. I don't know if they did that purposely, but, you know, they're obviously very aggressive. They're on the move, and, you know, we're on our heels, as it were. Linda Harvey, you've been sounding the alarm for years about the indoctrination in the public schools. We're talking about the assault on Christian schools now. Tell us how bad it's getting in public schools.
It's beyond what most people believe. In fact, if you try to tell people who haven't been keeping up with it about what's going on, they look at you like you have four heads, and it can't be true. But it is true. The idea of being inclusive after the legalization of same-sex so-called marriage has just ramped up the demands of the LGBTQ activists in schools, and of course their allies in the teachers' unions, to push very explicit sex education and gender rebellion indoctrination even to little children. And so that you have, and I hate to say this, but you have condom demonstrations to sixth graders because, you know, they believe that this is being part of being inclusive of so-called born that way homosexual kids. And they also push gender identity confusion. And people are only after the fact, when their children come home with nightmares, come home with these horrible tales, do they understand what's going on. And the most, what was very interesting is what, again, Pastor Gary was saying about it's coming to the Christian schools. The issue is that Christians have got to wake up and speak out, because for too long, just as he said, we have been retreating and realizing, oh, well, we'll just go and educate our kids in public school or in Christian schools. You can't do that. You have to do both simultaneously. You have to both educate your children in a Christian school, if at all possible, or homeschool, but stay engaged in the public square, because this is where we're going. And the Equality Act, which would make, at the federal level, Nancy Pelosi has said this is her agenda item, would force homosexuality, sexual orientation, and gender identity to be considered civil rights. And if that happens, religious freedom is out the window.
Jameson, during the Obama years, President Obama was pushing LGBTQ transgender issues in public schools, and he had signed an executive order that schools were to comply with accommodation for transgender students. That means boys who think they're girls going into a girl's locker room. Now, of course, President Trump rescinded that executive order, but what we're finding out, even here in Ohio, and very close to us in Akron, the public schools there, indifferent to state law, indifferent to the state's Board of Education, they're moving forward with that same agenda. They're already giving accommodation to transgender students. Now, unless a parent and a student object or file a lawsuit, and many of these folks are just in the inner city, they're not knowing where to go to a legal group. They don't even know who to turn to. And so these things are happening just as a pace in which Mr. Obama push them forward. What are you hearing on the federal level?
Yeah, well, that's you're correct about that, Chris. It's interesting to note, though, that it this didn't even rise to the level of an executive order. It wasn't overseen as part of regulation or regulatory rulemaking. It was literally a memo out of the Office of Civil Rights that instructed schools that this was the now interpretation of civil rights law by the Obama administration, and that ended up becoming systematically implemented through the public school system. And like you know, in all bureaucracies, they function a bit like machines. Once an idea like that gains root and acceptance, it's very hard to remove it. And so the Trump administration and the Department of Ed has rescinded that memo. They made it clear that is not the interpretation of the Trump administration, but the damage in some ways has been done, like you said. And so the public schools now are definitely pushing forward a vision of human sexuality that certainly we as believers would not think conducive to human thriving. And that is pretty much systematic through the school. So this is something that we continue to fight and to help, because we are a Christian school association, but we care about all kids in America. We care about what they're being taught. And so in our work to protect the mission and the religious tenor of our schools, we also want good solutions for all American schools.
So if I understand you correctly, so there was the memo from Obama, there was the rescinding of that interpretation by the Trump administration with lack of definition. The local districts are using their own discretion as to how they want to interpret that then.
Yes, and you just see it on multiple levels. Once activists in school districts were given the permission, so to speak, given the cover by the Department of Education, they made it a point of attack at the local level. And school districts, many of them, have caved to it. There's been several court cases, and this is still being litigated. Essentially, it revolves around the definition of the word sex in civil rights statute. Can that be interpreted to cover sexual orientation and gender identity, or is that limited to biological sex? So if there is a Supreme Court decision that limits that word in civil rights statute, it may give some leverage to people to roll these things back. But for the time being, we're in a little bit of legal limbo as far as that concerned. And activists certainly have pounced upon the opportunity to have those policies implemented in public schools.
Is that how you see it, Linda, in its interpretation and application at this time?
Yes, absolutely. Once that Dear Colleague letter was written and produced by the Obama administration, it produced an enormous amount of permission for the activists that were already ready out in the schools. You see over and over and over again, school systems, even at the state level, state boards of education saying that, oh, now federal law requires us to allow boys into, allow us to affirm transgender identities when no such law had been passed. And many of us, you too, Chris, were saying, oh, no, there is no such law. Do not go along with this and go to your school boards and educate them where they need to be educated.
That's an excellent point, and that's why we're taking time on the program today to address this issue, where parents can go. Pastor Gary, again, your church has a Christian school, but you're concerned on these things. You serve on the State Central Committee of the Republican Party. You've been involved politically. What is your thoughts on this?
Well, Chris, these are not just theoretical things that we're talking about here. With the Christian school, we've had a couple instances where we've had to deal with some of these things. And we've had people who have applied to our school who have some of those issues. Now, to be straightforward and honest with you, the first time we had people who applied, you know, we begin to ask ourselves, okay, what is their purpose? Why do they want to come to our school? Are they looking for help? Can we help them or can we not help them? And the instances that we had, the students did not enroll. We would not have enrolled them because they would have, they self-withdrew from the process, to be honest with you, after dialogue. But the fact is we could not have helped them because they were not looking for biblical help. They were not looking for biblical instruction. They were not looking for a way out of that lifestyle. They wanted to justify that lifestyle. And that's contrary to the scriptures. And it should be no surprise to anyone that a Christian school that is a part of a church exists to teach what the Bible teaches about human sexuality.
Yes.
And but those challenges are coming. And we did research. We consulted with lawyers. I consulted with other pastors that have Christian schools. I believe I called Jameson and just talked to people to get some counsel on how do we handle these things. In one instance, there was a parent that was planning on engaging in a same-sex marriage. In another instance, it was a student who was in that lifestyle and had no desire to come out of it. And I will tell you that in my philosophy as a pastor is that we love these people. We don't hate them. We love them. We want them. You know, God did not create us in that design. It's a design of disorder. It really is what it is. The words are escaping me right now. But that does not fulfill people living in that way. God is a God of order. He did not create you that way. The Bible is very clear. And we want to teach people that, you know, God has a plan that will make you happy, that will fulfill you. This is not his plan. And so if we thought that we could help somebody, and I think in the one case we said, you know, why don't you start coming to church, let's give you some counseling, things like that. If the counseling goes well and you find that it's working well for you, then we would look at what we could do to enroll you and to get you in the school. And that was the last we heard of them because they really didn't want that. And so once we start admitting students in who have that philosophy and their parents have that philosophy, then it just creates a Pandora's box for us teaching the truth of the Word of God. And so we, like most Christian schools, have that set of standards that says, listen, you have to subscribe to this. Now, if you're coming to us saying, hey, I struggle with these things, but I want victory over it, hey, we're happy to work with you. But when you say, no, this is what we believe, this is what's right, this is who we are, and we're not going to jump through your hoops, and we're gonna fulfill our mission in this, then we can't do that because that's contrary to the scriptures, it's contrary to our statement of faith. But the point I'm making here is we're not just talking about theoretical things because you would think, well, if they're teaching something that's contrary to what we believe, why do they want to even come to our school? And there are cases where they come, just like with Jack Phillips. They go there to make a point sometimes. And that's the threat that's coming upon our Christian schools these days.
We're talking with Pastor Gary Click. He is the pastor of Fremont Baptist Temple. We're also talking with Linda Harvey of Mission America. And we're also talking with Jameson Coppola, who is the legislative director of the American Association of Christian Schools. The Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I can see what we've talked about here. We've talked about the individual. We've talked about basically the family, and we've talked about the nation. And when you have this kind of perversion that is threatening the individual, the family, and the church and the Judean Christian culture and our nation, and God, from the scriptures, he deals with individuals, like you're saying, theoretically. We're not talking theoretically. We're talking about real people, real time. But you're also talking about the indoctrination of others, as Linda, you're indicating, of a philosophy that would be taught in school that would turn on its head our Judean Christian worldview of sexuality of men and women, and then to blur the lines, and then on the national level of a nation that slides further into degradation and basically into depravity. And the Bible talks and addresses all of these issues. And we as Christians, certainly we pray for and love on individuals. We pray for our nation, and we pray for the culture that we might be lights in the world. But yet, we are up against a torrent at this time of those who are fighting against God and His principles, and they're taking no prisoners here. I mean, they're all out in a full out war against what we believe. Jameson, your thoughts? What you see on the federal level?
Well, it's pretty much what is starting to come to the surface that you see in the news reports. It's always amazing to me that when the news is reported, it's reported without it seemingly understanding that religious people are fully vested in public life in America. And I saw reports after the article on the vice president's wife that she didn't deserve to have taxpayers pay for her housing or her security detail.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think what a tragedy that the First Amendment seems to be non-effective for certain people in fighting against religious people. And I think we just have to keep vigilant. Our job here on the federal level is to be vigilant, to make sure that matter of fact, I was a little late to your show, Chris. I apologize, because I'm in a meeting expressing this very thing. To legislators, to regulators, to administration officials, saying we're in a battle for the First Amendment to be honored, and we need people that will speak out to say religious people. America is different than all other nations in the world in the sense that we fully included people that we knew sometimes would hold a minority opinion, a minority belief that the rest of the people may not see. But if you were going to allow people to speak the truth, and to speak the truth, they had to be included in the civic life of America. So we see it on the federal level day in, day out. We continue to spread the message of what the First Amendment really means.
Thank you, Jameson, for what you're doing. Thank you, Pastor Gary. And Linda, thank you, President of Mission America. Thank you all for joining me today. And again, if you missed any of this program, you can hear it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Thank you all for joining us today. God bless you.
Thank you, Chris.
God bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Amen. And we will stay in the fight and bring you the information that you need to effectively pray on these issues. God bless you, and thanks for listening today.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.